So in that simple example, we ran an L4 experiment with three factors, and we assumed that the factors were independent, the set time, the temperature, and the pressure. In practice, may well interact with each other, much like temperature and humidity do, to give you the sense of how hot it feels to you. The results may have interaction terms, and when they physically or chemically do have an interaction term, those results will show up someplace, and it's a matter of understanding when and what an interaction is, but more importantly, how do you deal with it? Let's talk about that in this lesson. All right, so interaction is, remember those response curves? If I have T1 versus T2, say it's just temperature, and I've got two different lots that I'm working with, and I have response time, which is how long it takes to cure. Now, if those two lines are essentially parallel, it doesn't really matter what I set temperatures 1 and 2 at, the different temperatures for the two different lots. There's no real interaction term between the two batches of material and the temperatures I set them at. Is that there's no relationship that is dependent on what level I'm setting which particular lot to. Now, the two lots may actually have different response times, but if in general that they are roughly parallel in going in the same general direction based as in this drawing, then we would say there's no interaction. I can set lot A or lot B to a different temperature, and it won't impact the results I get on the other one. In this case, it's physically, I have two different temperatures. But let's say that there was an off-gassing from lot A that affected lot B and deteriorated its ability to cure or significantly reduced its time. So that may show up as that if I'm changing the temperatures, then lot B would change dramatically in its slope. And in this case, where they're not parallel, or worse, when they cross, then we would say there's an interaction. So the idea in the notes here, I was changing it to humidity. But let's say A off-gassed a bunch of water vapor, which then shortened the time for lot B to actually set. Now, there was slightly different chemical reaction that occurred between the two different types of material we're dealing with. So in that case, there was a physical interaction between these two that caused one to behave differently in the presence of the first one. And so that's the nature of the interaction term. Now, that interaction will change the results. If I'm looking at just lot A and lot B is not involved at all, I'll get a certain response. If I'm looking at just B, I'll get a different response. But if I'm combining them in the same oven at the same time, the effects of the off-gassing of one will change the results of the other one. And that's what's meant by, it's that change is what's meant by the interaction term. So in the arrays, we'll go back to that L4 array. If I know that I have a likely interaction between my lot and temperature, then I can account for that because it will show up in the experimental results. So in this case, remember back in the process that we talked about assigning the different factors to the different parts of my experimental array. So what goes in A, B, and C. Now in this case, there's a little, what we call a line or a linear graph is what it's called. And it shows that C is on the line that connects A and B. It's this dot here. And that means that the interaction term between A and B, this A cross B, will show up in position C. So if I only have two factors and I know I have an interaction term that's related between those two terms, I would assign, say, the temperature to A, the lot to B, and then it'd be this A cross B would go into C because that's where the result is going to show up. So I wouldn't assign a unique factor to column C, it would be representing the results of the interaction of A cross B. Now, if I do assign a factor there, some other third factor that I was interested in, I wanted to squeeze it into the experiment, I would end up with the response as a result of C and the results of the interaction of A and B. And that's called confounding. When the results are overlapped on top of each other, that it muddles or confuses, is the result from factor C, that unique new factor that I'm controlling, or is it from the interaction of previous factors. So interaction is usually designated as this cross symbol. It comes out of Boolean logic or math, I think, of some sort. And these linear graphs allow us to figure out where in our arrays that all the different kinds of interactions are going to show up. So let's look at a little bit more complicated experiment, an L8 array. We have 7 factors at 2 levels each, is a Taguchi L8. And in this one way to set it up is the main effects are these corners, 1, 2, and 4. So the elements that I think are, that we, through engineering judgment or previous experiments, these are the ones that we expect to be dominant and control the response, the most likely to cause the biggest change. And 7 sits independent from that, so it would be a fourth main effect column for us to use for the experiments. Now, if we expect an interaction between 1 and 2, we would place that in 3. So 1 cross 2 would go here. And likewise, between 1 and 4 shows up in column 5. And between 2 and 4 shows in 6. So if we know that we have interactions, if we know that there's physical or chemical reasons for it, or we suspect that there's an interactive element between two factors, by carefully assigning them into the arrays and not assigning something to that array, we can look uniquely at the interaction term. If we populate this with 7 factors, column's factor that gets assigned to column 3 will be confounded with the interaction of 1 and 2. Likewise, whatever we assign to column 5 as a factor will be confounded with the interaction of 1 and 4, and so on. And there are third-level interactions and fourth-level interactions, too. The basic idea, though, is that if I'm looking at just main effects and I populate this L8 with 7 factors, the interaction terms, if they exist, are still going to show up just because I don't account for them in the experiment doesn't mean they're not there. If they exist, if that interaction term happens, it will show up and it will be a confounding of the results. In most cases, though, we're interested in main effects and interested in only their main effects and have little suspicion or knowledge that there are significant interaction terms. So we may run many different factors and ignore the effects of the confounding. So a couple bits of terminology there, a little bit on linear graphs, and we get to sort out our experiments. So in this case, let's say we've got 4 factors, A, B, C, and D, but we know B and C interact and B and D interact. So if we have an L8 array, one of the linear graphs for it looks like this. And so the assignment is, by using the linear graph, is to account for the interaction terms. Well, one of them interacts with 2 things. So let's call that B here on the corner, because we can get an interaction here, say with C, and here with D. So this is the B cross C, and this would be the B cross D. So we've got B, C, and D already assigned. Now we need to assign A somewhere. Now we have the choice to put it here and risk that there's an interaction with C and D, or assign it to 7 and keep it separate. I tend to choose 7 here, and I would just let that float if I don't have a factor to go for it, because it will give us the results of C cross D. But if our assumption is that it's minimal, it won't show up as being significant. We may be surprised. But it helps us to avoid any potential confounding between A and the interaction of C and D. So that's what I mean by assigning the factors to the array, is using the linear graphs as a convenient way to assign factors such that you can account for potential interactions. And I actually wasn't looking ahead, but I think I actually set it up the same way. And then I would assign those to the columns. A, B, C, and D go in those four columns. And I would set up my runs, the 8 runs, accordingly. So it would be B at level 1, C at level 1, D at level 1, and A at 1. And 3, 5, and 7 columns would be taken care of by the potential interaction terms. So is this making sense? Let me know. This is getting a little bit deeper into the Taguchi experimental method. It's really based on Lloyd Condra's book. And so I'll found it very, very useful. I know Ranjit Roy also has a nice book out on Taguchi experiments. And there are a number of other resources available if you really want to dive into this. So next, let's take a look at, well, what happens if I have 4 factors, or if I want to change one of my levels to 3 levels instead of just 2 levels in my experiment? How do I deal with that? We'll take a look at that next.